title of the message is Discipleship Called to Follow. Discipleship Called to Follow. And if you want, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. I'll be reading part of that verse. And if you will, stand with me to honor the word of God today in reading the word of God. These truly are the words of eternal life in our life. Matthew 11, and I'll start with 28. Jesus is saying, come and rest. He says in verse 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, asking for your help today in receiving your word, that we would grab a hold of your word, take it to heart, and not let it go. Lord, that we would hear exactly what you would have us to hear, that we would know exactly what you would have us to do, that there would be no confusion in the matter. You know, we know that you love us, Lord, and you want the best for us. You have provisions for us, and we ask God that you would help us to be able to receive these provisions by hearing, taking hold of your word, and obeying your word, acting it out in our lives, putting it to work, Lord, in us. We receive you, Lord. We receive your word. We thank you, God, for your word. And I pray that you give me strength today, Lord, that you would have your way in this vessel. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. Microphone working. Testing. Glory to God. So, discipleship, called to follow. You know, we've heard the word disciple. We've heard the word discipleship. I believe everybody in this congregation has heard those words. And the thing today is, what is it that God wants for me? And you can speak for yourself. What is it that God wants for me today? And you think of yourself as I think of myself and our church. Discipleship is a lifelong process. It's not just a moment. It's not just a spot in time or a spot in the day. It's a lifelong process of following Jesus Christ. After we give our life to him, he is, after all, the Lord of lords. He is, after all, the King of kings. And when we come to the knowledge of who he is, and we turn our life over to him and confess him as our Lord and Savior, as we turn our life over to him and we take hold of his promises, believing in who he is, he is our Lord. We begin a relationship that is a lifelong process and forevermore, eternal. Hopefully, we will not turn back, cast aside what we believe, and turn away from him. In discipleship, it being a lifelong process of following Jesus, it's a life of yielding. Have you ever come up to the yield sign and not yielded? Do you ever get a fright? Sometimes I do. If I forget, certainly, to yield and look, that there may be something happening on the side that I didn't see if I'm not paying attention to the road signs. And we are to pay attention to the Holy Spirit and his leading, to God and his leading us, and yield to him. Yield to God's word. Yield to Jesus. Yield. And let him lead. Let him go and follow him. You know, it's not something that's just happenstance. It doesn't just, well, that just happened. I think I missed it. I'll get it again the next time around. No, it is an intentional determination to turn and follow Jesus all the way, all the time. There's no one perfect. I understand that. That's a motto in the world. No one's perfect. And if we're using that as an excuse, oh my, woe is me. We might not do exactly right. We may fail and come short, but we're supposed to be pressing toward the mark, shooting for the prize, aiming at the target, and keeping our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. If we do not focus on Jesus, we cannot yield. We may not even recognize him. It's a life of yielding to God. He is the potter. We are the clay. He is the one shaping our lives. We need to be able to be shaped up. Every single one of us. That's how we grow. God does the pruning. He is the vine dresser. He does the pruning. He takes things and he works things out for us. Thank goodness. Thank God Almighty. He is the potter who is shaping and molding us. Disciple in the New Testament, and sometimes translated believer, is mentioned nearly 300 times. It is something that is so fundamental to being a follower of Christ. When we give our life to Jesus, we become a disciple of Christ. We are not out there living on our own, doing our own thing. We are to be found in Christ and Christ in us. His word is important. His word is vital. It's our very life. You know, it would be really good to memorize it as much as possible. And if you struggle with memorization, don't beat yourself up. The work is what's important, is working on it. If you're not good at memorizing something, take one small verse and read it every day for as long as it takes before. Just whatever you can get from the Word of God, do that. Certainly read the Word of God. Certainly study the Word of God. Certainly. I really enjoy devotions. Those are nice. Those are like little tidbits. Little tidbits. They're beautiful. It's good to do. But I dare say it's not enough. We need to dig in. We need to just feast on God's word. Understanding that it's our very bread. It's the bread of life. It's the Lord's words and how we should live, how we should live, how we should live our lives is found right in these words of God. So it's fundamental to following Jesus. So this is a three-part series that we're diving into here this morning called Discipleship. Called to follow. The Lord says in Matthew, as we read 11 and 29, in the portion of the first part of that verse, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. When you gave your heart to the Lord, you were probably like me. You didn't know it all. I still don't and never will. It's a growing process and a learning process every day in this walk with Christ. As he goes ahead of me and us, we follow him. And with this verse, we can think about What does this mean to take his yoke upon us? Because his burden is light. Have you seen cattle in a field with a yoke on their neck? I believe I've got a picture of it there. Cattle in the field with a yoke on the neck. They are pulling a heavy weight or carrying a heavy cart, or else they're plowing a field. And they both are working hard under the weight of that burden and that load to even out and distribute, to be able to do more. Right? So one doesn't get wore completely out, so one is able to help. They're together in this. Now let's put us in the yoke with Christ. Now I have to say, it's a little, I'm weak and he is strong. And when we read this verse and he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, don't you know that he takes it and he carries us through the hard stuff as he's guiding us along? And yes, we are in partnership with him and he with us. We abide in him and him in us. And as we let him lead us, he can carry the heaviest of things. He can carry the heaviest of things. He can carry it all. In times of our great need, he's even carrying us. He is so good to us. To bear the load equally, but with Christ, oh my. In my weakness, his grace is sufficient. If I find myself at a loss, he is the one who strengthens me. If I find myself afraid, he is the one who calms these nerves. His word is true. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting down even to the between the marrow and the bones. It pinpoints the problem, and it can heal. His word, he takes care of us. Discipleship, called to follow. Jesus says this in Mark 1:17, if you want to turn with me to Mark 1:17. I'm reading out of the NIV, and on the board I believe I have, or on the PowerPoint I have the NIV, and I'm reading out of the ESV. I study several different Bibles and translations. And one day we'll talk about translations and things like that. Today I'm reading out of the ESV. Mark 17:1. I said that wrong. Mark 1:17. Here in Mark 1:17, actually I'll start with 16. The word of God says, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And verse 18 says this, and this is just surprising to me. I mean, if you're reading this like this and you're just going along and all of a sudden, their response to this is quite surprising. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. And verse 19 says, and going on a little further, Jesus saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. These men were busy at their business. And John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets, and immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. They took off with Jesus. That's just so surprising in the middle of what's going on. They immediately follow him because he called. I want to be like that. When he calls my name, I want to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Yes, Lord, here I am. Whatever he tells me to do, I want to hear. I want to know. I want to know exactly what he wants me to do. I want to seek his face, and I am, to know what he wants me to do when he wants me to do it. And My ears are listening. I don't want to go idly by, numbed by the things of this world. Idly by, numbed by a TV. Music. My attention's on that. And God's speaking, my attention's still on that. Because then it becomes an idol. I need to turn and follow God. I need to be able to hear him. I need the distractions to go away. I'm telling you the truth here. I need that. And sometimes life is a distraction in and of itself, just the busyness of life that's necessary. We must take the time to sit in the presence of the Lord. It's life. It is our very life. Don't miss it. Don't miss an appointment with God. So Jesus does three things here. He calls them, tells them to come. The invitation is for them to respond. Come, follow me, he says. And then there's that invitation. It's out there. And I believe that's already out there, right? Now it's a known. Come and follow Jesus. At this time, he also said to them, follow. The command to follow, submitting to Christ, is a huge transition in life. Follow. Follow, knowing where you're going, not necessarily. Follow, no matter what. You mean, even when we don't feel it? Yeah. Even when we don't feel it, follow Christ Jesus. Where are we going? It doesn't matter. Follow Christ Jesus. It's dark out there. Follow Christ Jesus. He may take you to the ends of the world, into the darkest places on the missionary field. He may take you there for a moment, a day, a week, years of your life. But follow Christ wherever he takes you and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever you go. Follow Christ. In this first part of this series, Discipleship Called to Follow, we are called to a commitment in Christ that will change our character. We all were born with temperaments. Me and my sister, we got two different temperaments. We used to say things like, well, she was born in the north and I was born in the south, so it must be that. But no, we just had different temperaments. My sister would fight for any family member you ever, you know, she would be on the bus fighting, y'all. She would be fighting for her brothers and sisters. She would be telling us, you need to do this and you need to do that. She had a very strong personality. This girl was shy. I would hide. I would tuck tail and go. Yeah. God had work on me. My daddy came back from a trip one time, and he gave her a little doll, little Indian doll, because he was a truck driver at the time, and it was just laughing, and that's her personality. She's just a fun-loving person. It was a laughing little doll. Mine had tears. It was like tears. One time he gave me a birthday card, and the birthday card had all these beautiful green apples on it. No, it was red apples all on it, and then the one on there was like, green. He said, you open it up and it says, you're different. I love you. We all have our different personalities and traits of character, but something happens when Christ comes in. When Christ comes in to dwell with us, you know, he is the creator. He gave us these temperaments. He gave us everything that we have. Now, the world tries to destroy it and distort who we are. But the Lord says, I love you. And his love is unending. And he reaches out to the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you just like you are. God loves somebody also that is our enemy, someone who's not doing right, someone who is just hurting other people. He does love them. God says be separate from the world. Yes, he does. But he doesn't say don't love them. He loves. He says to us, in us following him, to yield to him so he can help us in building our character and in the calling of the discipleship of Jesus in our lives. Building our character takes a lot of things happening. We may hear no. And when we hear no, when we really want a yes, that's kind of character building in and of itself. We're going to go through things that we don't want to go through sometimes. That's character building, period. I'm still wondering how God was working, and he is working on my character. Because yesterday my purse got stolen at Walmart. So I learned some things about myself that I wouldn't have otherwise known. And I thank God for all that he's done. But if you don't know, in 20 minutes I got my purse back. It wasn't at Walmart anymore. And God foresaw all of that ahead of time. But God is working on my character in all of that. Because nothing that happens to us gets wasted. Nothing at all. All things. God works it out for our good. We just sung about it. God turns things around. And I do want you to pray for the man that stole my purse. He needs deliverance. He needs deliverance from heroin. Character and calling. He says, I will show you. Jesus is telling them, I will show you. Have you ever tried to teach someone something, but they didn't want you to teach it to them? They want to show you what they know? So they're like, oh, man, that's hard to teach somebody that doesn't want to. They don't have a teachable spirit. They're like, no, I got it. I can do it. And maybe that's you. I mean, there's been times. I can sit with that a minute. God wants us to yield to him and his teaching. Because we don't got it. We don't have it. We need it. And you know, you may have learned something and held on to it and come across something that steps up the test a little bit further and it's a little harder to go through. And you're learning that thing a little more in depth. God is working. God is working on us to make us more like Christ. More a reflection of who he is in the world. I want people to see Christ. I want them to see Christ. I want you to see Christ. I don't want you to see Lisa. I want Lisa to diminish and Christ to increase. That's what John the Baptist said. We want Christ to increase, Christ to increase. For that to happen, we must yield. Turn with me to Luke, chapter 5. Now we're going to be talking about the same scenario, different writer in the Bible. More details. The same event. Jesus calls his first disciples. That's how it's titled in the ESV. Now, those are man's words. But this is what the Word of God says. Chapter 5, verse 1 in Luke. It says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. That's the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. In the moment I'm reading that, I was picturing it. I love pictures. And I see these two boats in the sea, and he's seeing the scene. And he probably already knew what was going on, right, before he ever got there, being God and all. And there's two empty boats, and he gets in one. And it's not a coincidence whose boat he got in. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. I just think that's beautiful. He just got in the boat, asked Simon, who is later called Peter, to push the boat out a little bit into the lake. And if you've been on the lake, you know that the voice will echo across the lake. It's like an amplifier. And he sat down in the boat. Crowds were following him. They were pressing in on him. Christ himself was also man, fully man. Fully God, fully man. He experienced tiredness. He experienced the pressure of life. He knows what we face. He experienced it. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And verse 4 says, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. They had already been through it. They had worked hard. They were probably worn out. They were washing out their nets. It was over. It was done. The boats are empty. Nothing's coming in today until the master got on the boat. And the master used the boat to teach, to proclaim the gospel. And then Peter, well, Simon at this time, he obeyed God. He obeyed Jesus, the master. He did exactly what he asks. He says some things before he does, but he does it. He said, and Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. It's time in your life to let down the nets. It's time to do whatever God tells you to do for his glory. Obey him. Verse 6 says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish. They went out into the deep. They let down their nets. And they enclosed such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They had to call for help, y'all. They had to call for help. Hey! And then seeing that their nets are broken, this is what happened. That in 7, they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now, that's the blessings of God. Shaken together, running over. God is like, I just thought of cornflakes. You crush them down, shake them together, and there's a whole lot more that will fit in that bag. These boats were filled to the brim and running over and sinking under the blessing of God. Verse 8 says, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He recognized the master. He recognized the master. He said, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. That's what verse 9 says. Verse 10, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee,
who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. There was a lot happening that day. They left everything. And I know the Lord wants us to see today how to follow him. You can follow him immediately. You don't have to wait. If he says to you, "Tell them I love them," tell them. Follow him. He is saying he will bless you. And we're going to talk about that further when we go into the other parts of this series. He will bless you in your following him. It's just an automatic. It's just an automatic thing that happens. We obey God and he blesses. We obey God, he blesses. We obey God, he blesses. And maybe the blessings aren't exactly what we think they might should be, but they are definitely what we need every time, all the time. So we ask ourselves today, what is it that the Lord wants from us? You have to ask yourself that. I can't point to you and say, "God wants you to do this," unless the Spirit of God reveals it to me. I would not want to assume or commit this sin of assumption to say any words to anybody that God did not say. There is a punishment that goes along with that. There is something horrible that can happen. We must hear from God. We must hear from him. If God calls us to pray for something, pray for it. God calls us to go here or there, go here or there. Obey him. Now, God is not going to call you to do anything that is contrary or against his word. And this I know, God can use the young and he can use the older. He can use you to the day he takes us, right? He can use us till the day he takes us. He doesn't thank the Lord. He doesn't retire anybody. He's not in the mindset of the way the world runs or the way America runs. His ways are higher than our ways. His ways and thoughts are higher, so much higher than ours. If we get a taste of that, we'd be running out these doors, whoosh, getting to it, right? If the Lord spoke and said it, that's why the immediately happens. You know that you know that you know that you know that it's God. And there is no place of doubt in it. You'll know that it's God. God's voice is not something that's confusing. God's voice is not something that is indistinguishable. God speaks and you will know his voice. That is the word of God. His sheep know his voice. And they follow him. The question is, will we respond to the call? Will we respond?